We're talking with David Crosby here on the Angie Kohler Show on Green 960 AM. We are taking your calls at 866-960-5753. And happily, David, we have another David joining us on the line. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, hi, David,
it's a little redundant here,
David,
but go ahead.
Squared or something like that. Hey, you know, I wanted to talk about corporate wars. It was kind of a holdover from the previous guest, but while you have Crosby on, I wonder if he's got any ties to Muscle Shoals. Lately, I'm not sure if he's aware of it, but there was a major Tennessee Valley Authority dam spill just before Christmas, and it's poisoned the Tennessee River, which runs right through Muscle Shoals.
I know, I've been there.
Yeah, and, well, this spill, you know, as you may remember with the Exxon Valdez spill, that was 10 million gallons. This thing is 120 times bigger than that. This is
Was it that got spilled into the by the TVA?
Well, it's ostensibly ash, a coal ash, but it's got mercury, cadmium.
I did not know about it.
Yeah,
I know about that area because that's where my wife is from, Tuscumbia.
Yeah, well, I was a friend of Chet Helms, so I'm kind of involved in music production, but I have no ties to, you know, to that area down there. And you know, that whole Tennessee River is about 300 miles, and this is poisoning Chattanooga, Huntsville. It's making its way to Muscle Shoals.
I didn't know about it, but now that you've said it, I'll Google it, see if I can learn something.
It's
sure.
Apparently the Greeka Springs oil pipeline that has, and this is going back a year, is that right, David?
No. This is actually, what this is if you just have a basic coal electric plant, they take the ashes, what they call scrubbers, they just take the ashes out of the smokestack and then just toss them in the backyard and cover them over with water. So they make this pond with kind of an oatmeal slush of ashes. But unfortunately, there's mercury, arsenic.
And this is draining into the Tennessee River.
Well, what they did was this pile in the backyard was engineered to hold 1.5 cubic yards of this stuff, but they overfilled it almost fourfold. So it was almost 6 million yards of this stuff, and it was 20 feet away from the river. So when it busted open on a rainy night, it did this oatmeal slush into the river, and then it's apparently made its way down toward Huntsville at this point.
Sounds like the beginning of a John Grisham novel, and unfortunately it sounds all too real.
I don't know, but thank you for telling me, and I will try to find out.
And David, not David Crosby, David Kohler, let me ask you, started off asking about corporate wars. Let me take you back to that, because this is a subject that both David Crosby and I have talked a lot about, the people whose names we don't know. What was your question about that?
Well, it was just basically, you know, in terms of history, there have been, you know, you think about the War of the Roses or the 30-year war of Europe and whatnot. But I think we're in an era where we're having corporate wars. And essentially, the sweatshops of one part of the world are being protected by the Marines of the United States, or you know what other we don't call them colonies anymore, but they're sweatshops that are being protected by the military.
I don't think it's quite that simple, but yeah, there are wars definitely going on between the multinationals in this world. The question is, will it get down to where they have their own mercenaries? There are definitely, you know, multinationals in the world who are more powerful than individual governments of most countries, and they operate for their own interest rather than for the interest of people, and they don't have a country that you can pin them down to. They've got they can exist anywhere.
Sure. Well, you know, as that goes, the National Lawyers Guild put together a video just before 9/11, and they were trying to prosecute Unocal, and Unocal tied with Enron. Enron had a big power plant in western India, and they wanted to run a pipeline through Afghanistan and Pakistan to take care of this Enron plant, and Afghanistan didn't want to have any with the pipeline. So in March of 2001, Colin Powell strong-armed Afghanistan, saying, we're going to give you a carpet of gold. Well, you can,
David. I'm going to stop you because we're getting a little far afield. I want to thank you for your call, but David Crosby, this is something that you and I have talked about. Is that one of the things that happens a lot is that you see sort of the entrails. You don't see the actual hands-on of corporate influence in some of our policies. You've talked about it. You know, I want to know their names. Tell me their names. Let's make them public. But often we don't know the names of the people who are doing this.
You know, I wrote a song about it, but it's just gotten more, it's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger because they have realized that they want to be sub rosa and they want to be unknown. That's why they rebrand themselves, amongst other reasons, so that you don't know who's who and you don't really know. There's probably, David, if my guess is correct, and there are people who really actually know what the answer to this is, but I bet you that there are less than 5,000 people running the world. And of those, you know, the people who control the major, major amounts of money, the people who control the energy, the people who control the fuel, people who control the food, you know, there can't be that many.
And they know each other.
Do we know their names? No.
But they know. But they know. But they know each other. They know each other's names. Yeah.
But we don't know who they are. We don't know where they live. We don't know what they eat for breakfast. We don't know if they give a damn about a seagull. We do sort of know where their kids go to school, but we don't really know what matters to them. We don't know what their values are. We don't know what their ethics are. We don't know who the hell they are, and that's.
And is there a solution?
Really, really bothersome to me.
Is there a solution to that, David, in your view? Is there a way now? And we're in this new sort of era where we know everything about everybody instantly. If you go into a restaurant, you can read about it on someone's blog 5 minutes later what you're having for dinner. So is it now not possible for citizens, people who are...
To find out?
Yeah, to find out.
I think it is possible. But and I mean, some of them we know. You know, obviously, you know, we know who Bill Gates is. You know, we know who some of the really, really, really powerful people in the world are. But who, you know, in the old days you used to know about the Fords and the DuPonts and the Rockefellers and the, you know, you used to know. Now, you know, I don't think you really do.
Well, you know,
I think that it can be known. I think there are people who can do the homework and go through the interlocking directorates and you know, the people who sit on nine different, you know, boards, and find out who actually owns the controlling interest in the company that owns the company that owns the company. But man, I think it would take a lot of work and you have to have like a PhD in business to be able to do it and be willing to spend years of your life.
Well, you know what's interesting, and we just put up the here at the Angie Coira show, and again, I want to say it's David Bender in for Angie Coira. I'm talking with David Crosby, and you can go to our website, green960.com, click on Angie, and you'll see the lyrics to David Crosby's song, What Are Their Names?, which is really the point here, trying to find out the people who are pulling the levers of power, and this is something you can't leave it just to the media, because you know what? The media has also abrogated its responsibility.
Well, they're owned.
Well, exactly. They are corporate media much of the time, and they're intimidated. They're people who can't do their jobs without knowing that, you know, if they expose some of these things, they could lose their jobs. So now it's citizens' media. Now it's, and that's the other corollary to what we're just talking about, David, with Barack Obama, which is that people not only can influence their politics from the bottom up, they can influence journalism and media. That's what these websites, these blogs have become. It's citizen journalism at its best. It goes back almost to what, you know, Ben Franklin was doing back in the day with pamphlets. That's what people are doing.
Well, this is why I love the Internet. The deepest and most really important reason I love the Internet is that it allows that they can't control it. The only way they can control it is to shut down all the phone systems, and they can't really do that.
I got to say this, since we're on the air and we're doing this live, I got to say something publicly about David Crosby, and he's holding his breath now because he's terrified as to what I might say. I'm going to reveal. Yeah, talk about shutting down the phone lines. I'm going to reveal a secret. It is David Crosby, my friends, who explain to me how the internet works. Many years ago, not that many actually, when I was a Luddite, when I was, I don't even know how to, you know, get online, it was you, David, who understood this very early on. And I just want to, I want to give you props for that, because it is understanding. People are terrified of technology. And a lot of people are held victim to it.
You know why? You know why I knew?
Why?
Robert Heinlein.
Ah.
Science fiction.
Science fiction becomes science fact.
Yes, that's what happened.
I grok.
All of these guys dreamt it up. Heinlein, Asimov, Van Vogt, Ray Bradbury, all the guys, the original guys who invented science fiction, they thought it up, and then happened. You know, Heinlein envisioned nuclear power. Bam, there it was. It actually happened.
Well, let's go back to Jules Verne and H.G. Wells.
Well, okay, the next step back.
Yeah.
The men with imagination, you know, but the guy who really nailed me was Robert Heinlein. He opened my head up like a can opener.
And there's an image that I actually am going to I'm going to try and get out of my mind. David Crosby's We're almost out of time, David. I want to ask you just in the moments that we have remaining. You know, you are, I think, a native optimist. Your music has always had an incredible, you know, sense of the positive and the possible. Are you optimistic about our country?
I am, yes, for several reasons. I you know, I'm almost corny about it, David, how much I believe in this country. How much I believe, because this country isn't a piece of real estate, it's an idea, it's a set of ideas. And those ideas are, as near as I can tell, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a professor, I'm not a greatly educated guy or anything, I'm a musician. But as near as I can tell, those ideals that they founded this country on are the greatest system for human beings to live together under the rule of law and able to vote, you know, on their representatives that's ever been devised on the face of the planet. And I do believe in it deeply. I do believe in it deeply, and I believe that it's not done, and that it's not finished, and that it can survive, and it can evolve, and it can keep going.
And even with the destruction and the damage that's been done in the last 8 years, this is a resilient little document, this Constitution.
Well, it's up against one of the most powerful forces in human history, which is greed. The human greed for power and the human greed for money really is a force to be reckoned with. It's as strong as the force of gravity or the you know, laws of chance. It's terribly powerful. But the ideas that we founded the country on are powerful indeed also. And that battle is going on, you know, every day.
Well, I'm with you, man. I think we're going to win this one, and it's going to take a lot of time. We are out of time, as it happens, but the country is
Thanks
not.
Thanks for calling me again, David. I love it.
And David Crosby, it is always a pleasure to talk to you on and off the air. David Crosby has been my guest here on the Angie Coirer Show. I'm David Bender. We'll join you again tomorrow night. My guest will be Janine Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
Maybe like yours. When she walked down through the garden in the morning after it rained, peacocks wandered aimless underneath an orange tree. Can't she see me? Da 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 da.
on the air, online, and on demand. This is KKGN and KKGN HD, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose. This is Green 960.